wonder. Red light is on.
We just put them back.
Bring on the screen. Go test it back.
Okay, would you open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? Everybody there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to just read one verse, and then we're going to talk about some things. I want to mention something that's just recently happened and continue with that. All right. Verse 2 says this: "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." With much contention. And it's an amazing thing what's happening really around the world, but also here in this country. I don't know if you know who Vice President Pence was the governor of Indiana. He's a Christian man. He's very out there about his faith. He was invited to go to a Christian university just this past week for their graduation and give a graduation speech. Even at a Christian university, there were Christian students who got up and walked out on the president, vice president of the United States, because they didn't like the topic of his speech. So, and you know that I don't think that they had in there what it was. What they didn't have in there what the topic was. That it was inappropriate what he was going to speak on. I have some pretty good ideas, probably, of what he was, what came up in the speech. But this small group of Christian people got up and they walked out. After they walked out, the big majority of the students that were there stood up and gave him a standing ovation. So I mean, it wasn't like it was an overwhelming thing, but there were people that got up and we're talking about supposedly Christians, and if there's this contention, if there's this pushback, even within the church, what is it like outside of the church, right? This contention against the gospel seems to be growing in the world. I think I mentioned this before, but the religion that is persecuted the most in the world, guess what it is? It's Christianity. More than any other religion, persecution. We're fairly fortunate here in the United States because we've been protected, and we haven't had a history of a lot of persecution. We've had a growing thing happening in our nation to snuff out any kind of speech that doesn't go along with the politically correct ideas. That's growing and growing, and I'm sure that had something to do with these particular students from that university that got up and left, because it went against their ideas of what is right and what's important in terms of the big thing today is tolerance and acceptance of all kinds of things that are in the world. And so this is what probably ended up happening. But there is a contention, and we as the Lord's people are up against that contention, right? You understand? Now, the way that we react to it and what happens in our own minds, lots of times when people are pushing, the most important thing to do is to stand strongly. Lots of Christian churches have stepped back because they don't want to confront. They step back because they're afraid they're going to be labeled as intolerant or whatever. But we have to understand, as Christian people, though the message of love is there, there's also a message of sin, and we're sinners, and we need the cross of Christ. And why would anyone need the cross of Christ if they felt that they had their own truth and they could just go wherever they wanted to go? When we stand in truth, then there's going to be contention. And we as a church need to be people that are not afraid of that. It doesn't mean we go looking for contention. We speak in love, but it's so important in the age that we're living in, where things are getting worse and worse and worse, and evil is abounding. Oh, by the way, I think Jesus says that was going to happen. So it shouldn't be any surprise to us, should it? I mean, every single one of us in here would hope that things are going to get better, and then we don't have to deal with it, right? Yeah. We can just go on living the way we're living, and let's keep everything comfortable. And the scripture is real clear that that's not really where it's going to end up. There's going to be contention. Isn't there? There's going to be contention. And we have to be people that are in the truth and speaking truth, this is important, in love, right? We shouldn't be nasty with anybody, but we should say, well, yeah, this is what we believe. This is what the scripture says, and have a knowledge of scripture to back up why we feel the way that we do. Right?
Yes.
This is going to start happening more and more. It hasn't encroached in on us as much as maybe some other people. But it is coming. If you have any kind of view of history and what you believe and what the message says, these kinds of things are going to start coming in more and more. Even up here in northern New Hampshire. It's going to happen. It's important that as we see these things happening, that we understand that this is something we are going to be dealing with, and it's going to be important for us that we are so prayed up in the Spirit, that we are so walking with God, that we're not going to be afraid about it, that we're going to have love, the love of God in our hearts. You know, when people have a different opinion than you, whether it's your spouse or a friend or somebody else in church, I would challenge most of us probably get a little ticked off inside. We don't like it when somebody has a different opinion than us. Well, I'm telling you, it's going to come in. It's going to keep coming in. And these things are here for us to inoculate us, to get us ready for the major events, the final events that are going to happen in this world. If we're going to sing about the Lord's coming and, you know, oh, just a wonderful thing, you know, God's coming, and I feel that way. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. But I also know, because I read the scripture and you read the scripture, you know that the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and gloominess. Well, who wants to hear that? But this is what the scripture describes. It isn't what Malcolm thinks. It's not my take on the situation. This is what the scripture says.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us as people to really identify with the truth, grab a hold of the truth, know that it's going to be contended against, and be in a place of rest and peace and joy and love. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But it is important for us to be real about these things, right?
So here we have this contention in verse 2. I want you now to go to verse 11 of that same chapter. And it says this. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13.
As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you should walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. There is no way that you and I can continue to live in our present state of mind and be able to handle the things that are coming up. We're either going to react too angrily or too naively about the things that are coming in this world. It shouldn't, you know, how many times have the thoughts come in your mind? It shouldn't be this way.
No. Every day.
You know? I can't believe that, you know, boy, I wish it was back in the good old days. You know, where you could, where I was talking to somebody, was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. Over at the college a few days ago, we were talking about how you used to be able to just send your kids out and you wouldn't have to worry about them. I know when I was a kid, you know, of course, you can imagine.
It was in my day.
In your day, you know, you could. My mom would, you know, give us breakfast and okay, see you later. And I'd come back for lunch. My brothers and I would come back from lunch, there would be a nice lunch already for us. We eat the lunch. And off we go again. And we want to come home until the evening, right, for dinner.
Right.
That was home. Eat. But and you think, boy, and I've said to guys recently too, you know, when I think of summertime, I think of when I was a kid. Sitting, we had this peach tree in our lawn. And that is peace and rest for me, was leaning back on the, getting a peach, leaning back on the tree in the summer. I'm 10 years old, and I'm chomping on the peach, and there's a warm breeze blowing, and I'm just enjoying life. I'm thinking, it just can't get any better than this. You know? And we need to be able to have those kinds of times, right? But we also have to realize that there is contention in the world. There are people, and who can understand, people that would come against Christianity, a religion of love. A religion of acceptance. And yet there's contention against us. And I, when I was younger, I thought, young in the ward, I thought, well, who's ever gonna push against this message? This is the most wonderful message that there is, and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Who would argue against that? You know, but there are. And it's growing. There is a growing anti-Christ, against Christ spirit.
spirit that's in the world, that was back in the world in the time of Paul and all the apostles, that spirit of Antichrist, it was already there working in the world. And now it seems like there's been a stepping back of the spirit, that restrainer, stepping back and allowing things to start, evil to start taking its course. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. I want to know, can you?
Yes.
You can see that, right? This should give us some kind of indication of the time that we're in. I know that Glenn is in here this morning, but he likes to say we're on the foothills of the tribulation. We're getting closer and closer, and we can sing about it and talk about it, but we look at it as, I'm glad it's not here yet. But it is getting closer, and it is important for us to be people that are aware of the things that are going on around us. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's important for us to be people of truth. And one of the things that seems to be very clear in the scriptures, and I'm not going to get into this aspect of it, but it says it very, very succinctly here, that we should walk worthy of God who hath called us unto his kingdom and glory. He has called us out of darkness into his light. He has called us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into his heavenly kingdom. Is that right?
Yes.
And we should be people that take that to heart. That don't just hear a message today and go and then not consider it the rest of the week. That we understand that we need to walk worthy of this calling that God has given us. And that requires changing. That requires seeing the need to change and then allowing God to change us. Is that right? And we're not really going to know... See how I want to say this. All of us in this room understand certain amount of truth. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We know that Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended to the glory of the Father. We know that he sent his Holy Spirit to us to lead us and guide us, and that we're saved, we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And isn't that a wonderful truth to have at the base of our hearts? Isn't that's a great thing. But there's other truth. And there's other truth about what happens at the end of the age and the kind of people that are going to be his people who are going to be there at the end of the age because they were called, they were born for such a time as this. And it isn't just what happened back in the 1700s or 1800s. There's something different about this time period than those time periods. Do you get it? In terms of spiritual warfare, in terms of the kind of... God's always been interested in our character and our character development. But there is something that is going to be required of us at the end of the age. And it's important that we're ready for that. Amen? Do you sense the same thing? Does that make sense to you? So it goes on in verse 13, and it says this: "For this cause also do we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." You know, the word, this word right here, that God speaks to us in lots of different ways in our life. Amen. It's here, but we also hear the Lord remind us about things that are in here, right? And he reminds us through speaking to our minds, but also the situations we find ourselves in. And some of those situations are there to
to address a particular issue in our life. I was thinking about what Diane said, you know, about the well. You know, Ronnie worked on that as well as Danny, and do we just look at life events and say, oh, isn't that great, you know, that everything got fixed here? Do you take the things, do I take the things that happen in my life and learn something from it? See what God wants to speak through the situations. Because he does, doesn't he?
Yes.
If we're going to walk worthy, then we have to allow the effectual working of the Word to take place in our life. That isn't happening if we're just kind of bumbling through life, not realizing how much God loves us and is attentive to us and sees the things that are happening around us and are going to affect us. And he says, I'm going to use that for Malcolm to get this idea. But if I'm obtuse to it, notice I look over here when I said if I'm obtuse to that, Joe didn't like me using the word obtuse the first time I did it. So
Or
this time either, probably. You know, if we're obtuse to what the Lord's doing, how do we become so that we're outside of understanding? It's because we don't ask questions to the Lord. God, I'm sure everybody has said at one point or another, God, why did this happen? But you know, you can take the well thing and a tiny little slit in the pipe. Not a big hole. A tiny, like Ronnie said, hairline slit can mess you up from receiving the water. Right? And you can look at that and say, oh man, it doesn't take much, does it? It doesn't take much of me not picking this up during the week, or it doesn't take much of missing out on church here, you know, I'm doing it on a regular basis, it's going to affect, and that's probably a big hole, not just some little, but it doesn't take much. Have you noticed that in your life? Boy, it doesn't take much to get you off your rhythm.
Yeah, right.
You know, what the Lord's been speaking to me, listen to this. So, I've gained a little bit of weight. The reason why? I can do this. It's just a little slit here. I can have that. And that would be okay, probably, if that was the only thing I did. But no. I got away with it. My weight didn't go up. Oh, I'm going to have this now. And you know what happens? I get away from the discipline of something. And then it's, now it's easy for me to go, oh, I can have this. Oh, I can have that. And before long, without me noticing, it seemed like I went from 178 to 184, like that. But it didn't happen that way, but that's how it seemed. It seemed like it was overnight, I'll tell you. And for some ladies, it is overnight, isn't it? Women seem to have that problem. My wife tells me that all the time. It's not fair. But these things happen to us. And we're so unaware of the little things that pull us and get us so that maybe we don't have the right kind of attitude toward a brother or sister, and we don't even realize it. We allow certain thoughts about a person to get in the way, and and it drives just a tiny little bit of a wedge. It's not anything that's noticeable, but it's there. And then as time goes on, you have particular thoughts that are wedged in your brain about who and how different people are. Right? Some of them might be true, but some of them are probably not true. And you know where it is the most, I think? The way the enemy works your head about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he is there to effectually work in us. Isn't that great? He is there to do that.
I wanted to tell you a story.
The story was out of a book called Hiking Through. You guys remember almost a couple years ago for my 70th birthday, you guys gave me this book about this guy that hiked the Appalachian Trail. Yeah. I think it was you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
Reggie
and Carla,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they gave me this book. Well, it sat in the bathroom for a while, but I started reading it, and I really, really got into it. And it's about a Christian man who he was a Mennonite, and you know, he had all his things about. This is what you do, this is what it's like to be a Christian, blah, 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 blah. And he was very compartmentalized and all of this, and he got out, and his wife dies, and he ends up going out onto the trail to find healing. And so he gets out there, and it's all about his travels. He did the whole Appalachian Trail, and lots of fantastic, wonderful, great stories are in this. And what he learned about God and about that it's not supposed to be religion, it's supposed to be about Jesus and that relationship. And it was just a beautiful thing for me to read. Well, he had this one story about a man. He and this other guy are hiking the trail together, and they come across these two really young hikers, and one of them had these earbuds in, and he was listening to music, and he had his head down because he's listening to the music, and he's kind of, you know, walking along and on the trail, and his buddy's a little bit ahead of him, and he said that I don't know what the situation was, but he said that he was watching these two other hikers, and he said it started to get cloudy, and it looked like it was going to really start pouring rain. And the guy with the earbuds, he didn't hear. He couldn't hear the thunder. His buddy would turn around sometimes and say something to him. He had his head down. He was just hiking. And he was saying, you know, the kid was missing out on the pleasures of hiking because he was so into the focus of what, you know, what he was tuned into. He missed. He said he was missing the sound of stepping on the pine cones or the breeze and the good, you know, everything that's good about hiking in the woods. And so he says, and he never even heard the thunder. He just kept trudging along. Well, his buddy thought, you know, it's really going to downpour here. And so he goes off the trail. And he looks and he calls to his buddy. He runs down to where there was a little church, I guess it was, off the trail, but right, you know, he ran over to it. And his buddy never even noticed that his friend had left the trail. And he's yelling to his friend, you know, get down here, it's going to be rain. Never heard. It starts pouring rain. This other kid with the earbuds is totally drenched, and The guy that was writing the book said, and we were amusingly watching all of this play itself out and wondering how long it was going to take this kid to notice that his friend wasn't even in front of him anymore. He said he heard something in his mind. He says, "That kid is you." He said, "You're so busy with things of this life, you can't even hear what I'm talking to you." Mm-hmm. Wow. Now you talk about a learning experience. A learning experience, huh? I read that and I thought, man, I hope that that is not me. But I wonder how many times God has spoken and I wasn't listening. Because I was so wrapped up in my own little focus, my life. And even it can be even ministry as well. You get so focused on things that God wants you wants to speak something to you, but you're not hearing Him because you're so working in whatever it is you're doing, right? Yeah. Whatever that ministry could be. So
I just thought that was something I wanted to say to you there. All right, now would you turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Almost done. I'm almost finished. You ready? Ephesians chapter 2. I know some people don't believe me, but you believe me, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so here's this effectual, God is here to effectually work in us, right? Alright, now here's another scripture that kind of goes with that. It's Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verse 10. And it says this, "For we are His workmanship." Oh. Don't you like it when God punctuates something? And you know, Jackie's all embarrassed, but I find it very, very cool that that actually happens. Yeah. Really? I mean, that was a beautiful little ditty, wow. You know, we are His workmanship. You know. Man, just receive that, huh? And so it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Isn't that great? He empowers us to accomplish things. He says, you know, if Malcolm just listens to me, this is what I have planned for him. If he accepts these things that I bring his way, if he's sensitive to the leading of my spirit, then these are the things that are going to happen. I wonder how many things I've missed. Now, he'll come back around and try to get me again. He doesn't just, you know, he's not throwing me out. Because I'm his workmanship. You are his workmanship, and he's not done with you or me. He's working in us the whole time, isn't he? Isn't that great? I know I'm being worked on. Do you know you're being worked on by God? And we know it because of life situations, right? That especially that don't go our way. But we learn there's something that's being worked, an eternal work that's being worked inside of us. We go, well, you know, does he have to work on me this hard? I'm going to show you a video here at the end of the message. And we're getting pretty close to it. It's something that some of the people that were at the Unity Worship last month, John Holt had a Skip Guys presentation called God's Chisel. And so he's going to chisel us and break down and take away those attitudes and responses
and all those bad things that he wants to conform us to hit the image of his son. And this is what this is about that. And I want to just say that, you know, we have to understand that even though we're under God's chisel, it's because of his love that he wants to make us more like Jesus. Because of his love, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Those whom I love, I discipline. There's reasons why we go through what we have to go through. And we don't understand the whole cosmic thing of this, but God does. And if we trust him, it's going to be important. I think with the things that are coming on this world, it's going to be important for us to trust him, have that deep trust of him,
yes,
as we go through whatever is going to be coming our way, right? And he's not there to tear us down. He's there to build us up. He's not there to make us afraid. He's there so that we can have courage and strength in times of distress. You know, we sang that song about the time of desperation, right? And, you know, what do? We cling on to him. We trust in God. We're questioning God. Why do you keep doing this to me? No, I submit myself to you, Lord. Because I don't know what's coming down the pike here. But I want to be ready for it. I want you to be ready for it. And we're not going to be ready for it if we're untrusting, right? Or fearful. So, let me see if there was something else I wanted to say here. I don't think so. So, I'm going to end this with having this skit guys playing. And then I'll probably have a comment at the end. Yes?
Okay, so what I'm taking away is that even though the tension is growing towards us Christians,
yep,
and faith and stuff like that,
yep,
that we need to stand firm against that.
Correct.
But we try our hardest to do it in love. What happens? We can't do it in love. I mean,
yeah, but he
we
can.
Shouldn't lay down.
No. He can. See, there. I'm glad you brought this up because I just mentioned it slightly, but you know, it's important for us to realize that there is a time for everything under the heaven, right? Mm-hmm. There's a time of peace and there's a time for war. God says there's times for those things. Those things are going to happen. There's a time for love. There's a time for hate. Does he say that?
Yes.
Is that in the scripture?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's important for us to realize the times that we're in. And therefore seeking God to know what is required, what is expected of us in the time that we find ourselves in. Now, I think that love is that baseline for everything. And Jesus, in his love, turned the tables over and smacked people on the back with ropes. Did he?
Yes.
Oh, we don't talk about Jesus that way. No, let's only talk about the love that we understand. But I'm not saying that we're going to be doing that. But it shows that there's a wide breadth of possibilities there. Do you get this? So I think it's important that we realize that we need to stand firm. We don't step off and say, oh, well, okay, because of all these childhood things that have happened, you know, it's okay for you to go and do those bad things. No. God has the power. We just sang about how Jesus has all the power. His name is power, right? So we know that God can do powerful things in people's lives, and so it's important to stay and speak what is true. We have to be careful about anger. We have to be careful about somebody insults the Lord. You don't punch him in the face. I mean, there has to be self-control. There has to be an understanding of things, and we have to be hearing God. That's what's really going to be the very important thing. Because sometimes, I mean, do you think that Jesus didn't hear the Father say, turn those tables over? If I go do that somewhere, half of this congregation would be all upset with me. Oh, you're not showing the love of Jesus? Well, what if God actually told me to do that? You know? Isn't that true, though?
Yeah.
I wonder how many of his disciples thought, oh, man, he's really, Jesus is blowing in here. He was really starting to build up a group of followers, and now he says, he turns over the tables. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. What? Wonder what that did to the disciples. They're going, oh, my gosh. Why is he talking like that? Right?
Yeah.
So it's important that we recognize the will of the Father and hear what he's saying and walk worthy. We're not going to hear the right way if we're not walking worthy.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now.
That's right.
That's why it says in Thessalonians that I read that it's almost like Paul saying, please, walk worthy. How are you going to be able to be changed if you're not hearing God? You know, God does put situations in our lives and then we're obtuse to, oh, I was supposed to get something out of that. Instead of, oh, darn, why does this always happen to me? And, you know, and we miss what God wanted to do. Right? Yeah, right? You getting it? I've been trying to get it here, and I'm still bloodying my nose on that. Did you want to say something, Kevin?
Oh, it just reminded me. Isn't there a scripture that says those who give way to evil are like a polluted well?
Yes. It says that those.
I'll read it. If I remember where it is. Okay, because I am pretty sure I know where it is. Yeah. Okay, Proverbs 25, verse 26 says this, a righteous man who falls down before the wicked, in other words, gives way to the wicked, bows down, gets out of the way, doesn't stand up and say, no, this is evil, this is wrong. The righteous man that falls down before the wicked is like a troubled fountain, which means it's all stirred up. You know, trunk through a watering place. And like a corrupt spring. Corrupted, dirtied. Unusable. Yeah? That's what it says. If we just kind of back off, we're afraid of the confrontation. We're afraid to stand in truth on things and do it in a good way, right? It's important that happens.
And then if we're like a polluted well, we're not going to be able to give rivers of living water.
No, how can you do that?
We're going to be polluting them,
yeah,
instead, because they're not standing on truth.
Yeah, because they think we're just like them then.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're not pushing against. I guess it's okay to do this. I guess it's okay to think that you can, if a baby's born, you have the option of whether you can, quote, abort it after it's born. Mm-hmm. That's already happening in our country.
Yeah.
You know? Church has to stand up to this stuff.
Yeah.
Have to speak out. Do you write letters or emails, make phone calls to representatives? Oh, no, 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 I don't want to get political. Well, that's where it's all happening. And if we just kind of don't want to get involved and stay away from any of this stuff, I think it's a bad spirit. a wrong spirit to say, well, God's just going to take care of it. I can't do anything. Oh, yeah, you can. If you're God's instrument, you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I think like endurance comes into play, you know, like just the endurance to keep fighting. You know, it's so tough because
it
wear you down after a while.
Yeah.
You know, like after a while, you're like, for me, I'm just like so worn out. It's like, and I give up on people.
Yeah.
I really do. Like even people I'm praying for, like I'm trying to minister to and say, I want this person to change, to get to know God, to you know, and you're like, you're always kind of like putting things out there and they keep rejecting and keep rejecting and you're just like, well, the heck with it.
Right.
No, you know, Richie, it's that seed.
It's not my
seed.
Yeah, well, no, I know.
Yeah.
But still, you want to see that change, right?
Yeah. So it can be frustrating.
After a while, you're like, the heck with it. You know, like if you want to be in hell, go ahead, be in hell. I know where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
So what's the matter to me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth of what.
Right.
Of what I feel sometimes,
right.
You know, like that's just being honest. Like,
right.
And then after a while, God says, "No, you can't be like that. You gotta keep fighting and keep
right.
fighting for that person over and over again." You know,
right.
And the same thing happens with, you know, all this other stuff that God labels as evil, that Reggie may not see as evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but who cares what Reggie thinks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's all about what God thinks,
yes.
right? So I can read some and say, like, well, I don't really like that God thinks that way. Well, who cares, Reggie?
Yeah.
This is the way God thinks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do about that.
And the only way we're going to know is to walk worthy and read the scripture so that we have a real understanding, right?
Right.
Amen?
Yeah. That's crazy.
We don't want to grow weary in well-doing.
Right.
And it's real easy to do that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, we need to keep fighting and keep that endurance up and pray for endurance and pray for, you know, that's it's a constant prayer for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Because evil is yeah, let's see the video. That's probably what God is saying. What are you talking about? Come on, let's see the video. All right, that's what I get the picture now. Okay, so let's watch this. It's called God's Chisel. Okay.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we're God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso is like. But I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes. Mold me to the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa.
Who are you? I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer, so that works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Huh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Huh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Huh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm running out of playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are.
Okay, why?
You answered my question with a question.
I did. Yeah, I did.
That's right.
Here we go.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm making my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools that we use to make you my original masterpiece.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right.
How do you know know what to chisel away and what to leave.
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? I showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually taught me to train Pilates. That was a tough word. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel right here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here, maybe four, maybe eight lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. You try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out.
I don't really have a problem. You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I gotta admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, what do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think it's supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
That's
know.
Just that you never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're going to call control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel right?
That's called control.
Okay.
Well, this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired. But you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life? Process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, it hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Sorry, I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
No, talking about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, and there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
I can't.
You can't want.
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child.
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just that one. I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious. fingers, wife's right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up. Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find. Because I know who's inside. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just be prepared.
You know, we listen to so many voices for far too long that were not for me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just... God, I'll do that right now.
You're going to say my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name of all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach your back pocket.
Choked up on that this whole thing, this God
doing that effectual working in us. We are his workmanship. It, and they mention it right here at the end. It is a process that is never going to end. We want it to end. We want to get there, and we will get there, but not in this life. And so it's all we, this is something, this is what we have to live with, isn't it? Because there's a lot that God has to take care of inside of all of us. So this is part, this is what we embrace, and what's really great is God loves us. He's made us to be this final product. We're going to get there eventually on the other side of things, but thank God for his love. Amen. Thank God for his love for us. Mm-hmm.